This is the Rocky Mountain Review Podcast. I am your co-host, Gabe Peterson.
And I'm your other co-host, Julia Battalese. This is the Rocky Mountain Review, the live news show that airs 4 to 5, Tuesday and Thursday, on KCSU that has turned into a podcast. And this is what you missed this week. I'm Julia Battalese.
And I'm Gabe Peterson.
And you're listening to the Rocky Mountain Review.
And welcome to the Rocky Mountain Review here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. I am one of two hosts here on the show, Gabe Peterson. I'm joined in studio with Julia Battalese, my co-host.
That's me, yes.
In studio with Katie Otter, one of our reporters. We are joined in studio with Emily Mershak.
I almost got it.
Is the new news director for next year.
Yay.
And we are also joined in studio with reproductive physiologist and associate professor Jennifer Barfield. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. She will be the subject of our interview today. We will do that first off. Then we'll talk about New Belgium's newest beer. We'll go into national and talk about Mark Zuckerberg's testimony. We'll talk about Paul Ryan retiring. It's Thursday, so that means that Science's podcast is up, School of Global Environmental Sustainability. We have our music segment with our very own Cheyenne Duba, as well as a lifestyle segment with DJ Little Miss.
Yeah, and we also have sports and weather.
Yeah. Can't forget that. Anyways, we are going to jump right into the interview with Jennifer. I believe you have a question for her, Julia.
I have multiple. I'm not super well-versed, obviously, in reproductive medicine, but do you think you could give me and our listeners kind of like in layman's terms, what is in vitro fertilization, and then as well as the importance that it has to do with like the American bison that you worked on?
Sure. Yeah. So reproductive technologies like in vitro fertilization are basically ways to create healthy pregnancies. And in vitro fertilization itself refers to essentially when an egg is fertilized by a sperm outside of a body. And a lot of people, you know, will say it's like a test tube baby. It's actually in a little petri dish, which is kind of flat and round. But yeah, so the fertilization and the growth of the embryo for the first week happens outside of the body in an incubator. Mm-hmm. And then that embryo can be put into a person or an animal, depending mm-hmm. on where you're working. And hopefully a healthy baby is the result, you know, later. Mm-hmm. And you can also freeze those embryos at that stage and then put them into animals or people later.
Yeah.
So for the bison, we've been looking at doing in vitro fertilization for them because we get the opportunity to collect reproductive material like eggs and sperm from bison out of Yellowstone National Park.
Nice.
And unfortunately, that's kind of a time of year when they're not naturally breeding. So we just make the embryos and freeze them, mm-hmm. and then we transfer them later during the breeding season for bison.
Hmm, that's cool. And then can you just describe some challenges you faced when like applying this technology to the bison?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, when you first start this type of research, there's a little bit of the unknown. You don't really know what's going to happen when you first try it. Fortunately, we have a really great model species in cattle. So this type of technology has been done in cattle. It's been successful. It's widely used. So we had a very similar species that we could use to kind of start the research and practice making embryos, and it worked pretty well. And so we felt like we had a good enough technique in place that mm-hmm. when we got those really valuable animals and the sperm and eggs from those animals, that we could apply that successfully, and we did.
So it's called IVF1. Is that the first bison that was produced from this?
So that's our first bison. There has been a bison produced by in vitro fertilization in Canada. It's the wood bison. So down here we have plains bison. It's a separate subspecies. And that animal was, the one in Canada was generated from eggs that were collected from live animals during the breeding season. So ours were collected from eggs outside of the breeding season from animals after death, basically. So we collect the ovaries, we take the eggs out, we ship them to Colorado, they're fertilized here, we grow them for a week, and then we freeze them.
I mean, it was pretty, this calf that we're talking about, it was pretty miraculous that it kind of grew up, because I was reading that you said that it wasn't necessarily the healthiest embryo in the bunch, and that it kind of grew up and it defied all the odds. How many of these did you try to like reproduce?
Yeah, so that year we had transferred embryos into 10 different females, and this was the one female who got pregnant and stayed pregnant and you know, had a healthy calf. And you're right. So IVF1 as an embryo was not what I would call a perfect embryo. She had a little flaw here and there. So I wasn't quite sure if she would result in a pregnancy. From that sense, I was really surprised that she was the embryo that made it. And we also transferred her with another embryo. So she had the potential to be a twin.
Oh, wow.
But she won out. And she's pretty cute if you haven't seen the picture.
Yeah, I'm looking at her right now. She's cute.
So what was the goal of, obviously to create a bison.
Yeah.
What was the goal with the Laramie Foothills Bison Conservation Herd?
Yeah, so through our research, we've generated healthy bison a lot of different ways, and particularly bison with Yellowstone genetics. So as we were doing this and we were having these healthy babies, we really wanted to do something that would make a difference for conservation of the species. And so we were really fortunate to be able to partner with the city of Fort Collins and Larimer County to establish this conservation herd. And so the point of it is really to, bring those bison back to the landscape here. They do a lot of great things for the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. To provide a place where people can go and see bison, locally. Mm-hmm. But three, to really be able to contribute to the conservation of the species, because as our herd grows, we're going to hit a carrying capacity of the space, and then we're going to be able to give bison to other places, other herds that might want them. And we've actually already done that. We've sent bison to Minnesota. We've had a bull go to the Minnesota Zoo. He's now out in Blue Mound State Park. We've given bulls to the Madewin National Tallgrass Prairie outside of Chicago. And we've actually given two bulls to the Pueblo of Puaque down in New Mexico on the Rio Mora National Wildlife Refuge. So that's really significant because those genetics from the Yellowstone bison are really difficult to access because of disease concerns. Mm-hmm. But with our animals, we don't have the disease concern, so we can get those animals out into the larger bison population and make an impact.
That's super cool.
Yeah, I mean, is there kind of hopes to cancel out extinction for these kind of animals? Is that the hopes of this project? Or what do you see with the future of, if IVF1 survived, what's the future of the bison herd or other animals?
Sure. So the technology that we're using, in vitro fertilization and then freezing the embryos, we have over 1,000 bison embryos frozen in our lab right now.
Oh my God.
We're not going to transfer all of those embryos. We don't have 1,000 bison to put them in. But let's say something were to happen to the Yellowstone population, a different disease were to come through or some natural disaster were to come through and impact that herd significantly, those embryos could be used to then generate new offspring, that theoretically could be used to maybe repopulate the park or even, still go to other herds elsewhere that may need them. So they're kind of like this genetic insurance against extinction. It wouldn't necessarily just having those embryos, might not be able to prevent it altogether because they're going to need habitat. They're going to mm-hmm. need, protection and other things like that. But it's a great step and a really great insurance policy to have.
I mean, can these last forever? Can you just freeze eggs and everything forever or yes or no?
Theoretically for a very, very long time and okay. probably on a scale that's, we're talking 1,000 or thousands of years.
So in our lifetime, we could repopulate if we needed to.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
That's super cool. So what would happen next for that bison? Do you guys keep track of that one?
Yeah. So she's going to stay in our herd and grow up in our herd. And hopefully in a couple of years, she'll be having babies of her own. Mm. And so her genetics will get integrated into our herd. And then through her offspring and other animals that may leave, we'll be able to kind of spread those genetics around.
That's super cool.
Yeah. I mean, has there been any backlash at all with genetically modifying a new bison, or have you not had any criticism from that?
That's a really good question, because I think that's a very common misconception, is that we're genetically engineering them or changing their genetics in some way.
Yeah, because it sounds like it's just an egg and then a sperm and it just makes
right.
a bison.
Exactly. So the process that we're using is the exact same process that a couple would use if they went down into an infertility clinic. So there's no genetic modification going on. We're simply preserving the genetics as they currently exist of the mother and the father. No gene editing, nothing like that.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I have one more question,
okay.
I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are there any animals that you really want to do that for, I guess? Like, any goals, I guess?
Oh, man. I really like the hoofstock species. you know, I'm really fascinated with Sega antelope. And I really, really, really want to get into muskox. I think they would be such a fun species to work with.
What's a muskox?
So they're up in Canada and Alaska. They're like those big, woolly, they're kind of short-looking. They have the thin horns that kind of come out wide set from their head. Mm-hmm. And they have, I mean, I love a bison baby, but a muskox baby is about the cutest thing on four hooves that you've ever seen. You should Google it right now if you've never seen one. They're absolutely adorable. So
in this source article, it kind of talks about the last death of the northern white rhino. I mean, is there any conservation efforts to bring that back, or is that something that's not possible through IVF?
Well,
like if a species is extinct, there's no way to kind of bring it back.
Currently, we haven't done that. Now, there are teams who are working on being able to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have sperm and eggs preserved, it's possible. If you have embryos preserved, it's possible. If you don't have that first species, it becomes a lot more challenging. But there are some potential techniques being developed with stem cells that could say you could take a stem cell and direct it to become an egg or direct it to become a sperm and then do IVF. That could be a possibility, and I think there are, I know there are scientists who are actively working on that for the rhinos.
Is that kind of when it gets into like genetically modifying?
Still not.
Yes and no.
Probably not. I mean, it's not actually changing the genetic code. It is changing the way genes are expressed.
Okay.
And what that resulting cell would be, because I mean, every cell has the same DNA. It's just how those genes are expressed that turn it into one cell or another. And so it's manipulating that expression and not necessarily the genetic sequence.
Okay. Okay. Well, I actually just got a text in from a caller. It's not a caller. But the text says, what's the difference between a buffalo and a bison?
That is a good question, too. Yeah. So what we have in North America are bison. That's their scientific name. In fact, the plains bison that we have here is called bison. It's the easiest animal scientific name to remember. The subspecies in Canada is bison athabascae. And so scientifically here, what we have is bison. The buffalo, true buffalo, would be like the Cape buffalo in Africa, water buffalo in Asia. Those are really the true buffalo. They're a separate genus of animals.
Hmm. So like Northern American buffaloes are bison, pretty much.
Scientifically. But what I was going to say is it's also very accepted to call them buffalo because of their connection to the Native American community, and that's their word for the species. Mm. And so, you know, we kind of call them by both names in North America, and that is accepted. But, you know, if I'm writing a scientific paper, I write bison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I think we're out of questions for you, Jennifer. Thank you so much for coming on air.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, so that was Jennifer Barfield, a reproductive physiologist. God, I'm going to mess
that
up.
And
assistant professor here at CSU. We're going to take a quick break here at the Rocky Mountain Review, but when we come back, we will jump right into local. So stay tuned. You're listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. Welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. I am one of two co-hosts here on the show. I'm joined in studio with my co-host, Julia Badalise.
Hello.
Katie Otter, one of our reporters.
Hello, hello.
Now on the mic. And Emily Moshak.
Yay,
the
hi.
News director for 2018-2019. So congratulations.
She's getting her experience in now.
Yep. Oh,
yeah.
Yep. So we just concluded our interview with Jennifer Barfield. We're going to move right into local. And Katie, you went to New Belgium last night and covered a new beer. Why don't you tell us about that?
I did. So
not loud enough.
Last night, I stopped by New Belgium to try one of their newest beers called Hemperer, which is a hemp pale ale. The beer is made with the heart of hemp, or the heart of the hemp plant, which is like the legal part that is legally able to use that part.
That's just so funny. Yeah. The heart of a hemp.
Yeah, I don't know.
It sounds
so
like
much.
It sounds like a witch would be brewing something. I need the heart of the hemp.
I need the heart of hemp.
Or like an artichoke heart, you know?
That's what I was thinking. So this is like one of the first beers of its kind. because it's made with hemp, and it smells quite herbal, I will say.
Quite bloody.
You just opened a jar, someone lit up a joint next to you. It's a 7% ABV, so kind of typical of IPA, and is light golden in color. It uses four different types of hops, including Nugget and Cascade, and three types of malts, pale, white wheat, and midnight wheat. I personally enjoyed the beer, but could probably only get like one or two down in a sitting. Like, because I thought it was like a little heavy, but has a nice dry finish, which is something that I like personally. But like something like Citradelic, on the other hand, I could definitely have more than two. And it kind of tastes like drinking an edible a little bit.
But no, like that no effects.
No effects, no THC or marijuana or anything like that. I have a friend actually who's really into craft beer and cannabis, and he hated it.
Really?
He thought it was really disgusting. He said he could barely finish it. But I personally thought it was okay. But something cool about this, on New Belgium's website, they offer a place to write to your legislators to legalize industrial hemp. And they've partnered with a company called Hemp for Victory, which is actually Willie Nelson's thing. And every barrel of hemperer that is sold, they donate a dollar to Hemp for Victory, which kind of just raises awareness about hemp and like how it can be used industrially and why it should be legalized. And but I had the pleasure actually of having a brief conversation with a bartender named Alex about the beer and kind of what the process was of going into it. And
we have that right now.
Yeah, so enjoy the piece done by our own Katie Otter.
Sitting here with my lovely bartender Alex at New Belgium over their new hemp pale ale.
Yep.
So this is kind of a unique beer. Can you tell me what makes it so special?
Just the fact that basically we've legally added hemp to this beer, so we've used hemp hearts, which have none of the effects that marijuana or any of the other parts of the hemp plant have, which is kind of a legal tie-up with using hemp in beer. I guess to backtrack a little bit, hemp and hops are very closely related genetically. They're cousins from what I understand.
Right.
So being that obviously hemp and marijuana have those kind of psychotropic effects or whatever, the government has all these things, you can't use that in beer.
Right.
But there are parts of the plant that are very beneficial, obviously, in terms of all sorts of other industrial capacities, right?
Right.
So the hemp heart, it's essentially like a little seed. It has a little bit of flavor and it has some aroma as well. So we're able to use that to give you
this beer,
experience.
It smells like I just opened a fresh jar of some bud
here, right?
And I heard that in Kansas they can't sell this beer.
Chances are, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different laws in different states, so I mean, it's a pretty slow rollout from what I understand.
Is it the first of its kind? Are there other kind of beers?
At least on a commercial level, for sure.
Okay.
I can't speak factually to like how many breweries have released. I mean, there's been talks of breweries that have released beers with hemp in them. I don't know what they are, but basically, this one actually clears all of the legal red tape around it. So
Did it take, do you know how long it took to kind of figure out the right recipe
Not really. I mean, so much of it in development anyway was figuring out the legal recipe to begin with.
Right.
So just finding a part of a plant that we could actually use was probably the biggest hurdle. And from there, it was coming up with an actual flavor and how to get that to come across in the beer. So,
do you think other breweries will take your lead in this? Or?
I would think so. I mean,
maybe.
I can't imagine why not.
Yeah.
But hard to say. Just because it is so brand new.
Yeah, very cool.
And we're back here at the Rocky Mountain Review. Katie. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, so that was End of Local. We only had one story today, unfortunately. So I guess we're going to jump right into sports. I suppose that is me. Let's talk about rugby. It's playoff time for number 19 Colorado State Rugby as they take on number 6 Army in the first round of the national playoffs Friday afternoon. CSU competed in the Las Vegas Invitational to get a look at the tournament's style of play. During the tournament, CSU picked up 3 wins and took 2 losses, including the 21-12 defeat to conference opponent Utah State. CSU finished the regular season first in the Mountain Division with 25 points on the season, beating out in-state rivals Air Force and the University of Colorado, as well as out-of-state rival Wyoming. The game will take place at the Intramural Fields at Colorado State on Friday, April 14th at 7 p.m. The winner will advance to the quarterfinals of the playoffs and face off against the winner of the Grand Canyon Life game. Finally, we talk about track and field. The Colorado State track and field team expanded their already loaded distance squad by adding the nation's leader in the 3,200 meters, Michael Mooney. Mooney is a native of Broomfield, Colorado, and his 8-minute and 50-second split in the event is currently the best in the nation according to the Colorado Mile Split. In this week's U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association rankings, the Rams are ranked number 15 in the nation for the second consecutive week. With this ranking, the team has been ranked in the top 25 for 12 consecutive weeks and are once again the only team in the Mountain West in the top 25. The Rams' next meet is scheduled for April 15th, and the team will compete at the NOCO Challenge, which will be co-hosted by CSU and the University of Northern Colorado in Greeley, Colorado. Whew, a lot of words.
I can't believe that they're, like, so good, and I don't even realize it.
I know. I don't think I've ever seen the track and field team.
I've actually been to, like, one or two competitions because I have a friend that does track and field. But I just, like, never realize how good they are.
Yeah, I mean,
and then they're like, oh, yeah, they're 15th in the nation. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, every time it's sports, Bjorn's always writing about them, just saying, you know,
track and field's killing it.
Yeah, they're killing it. So shout out track and field.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to go into national and global news, as well as science news done by a School of Global Environmental Sustainability. But that'll be right after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. You are listening to the Rocky Mountain Review, only here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
KCSU works hard to bring you the best in new music, local news, and local sports. If you would like to support us with more than just your ears, please donate. Go to kcsufm.com/donate to contribute to our commercial-free programming. Thank you for the support.
And welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. I am Gabe Peterson, one of two hosts here on the show, which makes Julia Battalese my co-host.
Yep, that's me.
Katie Otter, one of our reporters.
Hello, hello.
And Emily Moshak.
Yeah.
There we go. First time ever. The new news director for next year.
Hello. So
she's in training.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we're going to go into national news. I'm going to throw it over to Katie.
All right. On Tuesday, Mark Zuckerberg started a 2-day trial in front of the joint Senate Judiciary and Commerce Committees. He took a tough line of questioning from senators pertaining to Facebook's handling of user data. Many Republicans questioned about targeted advertisements, while many Democrats asked about Facebook's response to Russian meddling, according to the New York Times. Much of the trial was focused around the Cambridge Analytical data breach, such as how much Zuckerberg knew about it at the time and why users weren't notified about the breach at the time. Zuckerberg replied by admitting Facebook made a mistake by not informing their users. Also admitted was the fact that Facebook collects data on users even when they're not logged in, reports CNN Money. Zuckerberg also mentioned new artificial intelligence tools that were used to detect malicious activity in elections in France, Italy, and the special Senate race in Alabama. He believes that these new tools will help protect the integrity of elections from manipulation on Facebook, reports the New York Times. Throughout the trial, Zuckerberg mentioned the fact that users can go into their settings to download their data. When I did this, I saw a lot of stuff that they had on me, including basically my entire phone book contact list, even of people who aren't on Facebook or I'm not friends with on Facebook.
What?
Yeah, I also saw the list of brands or companies who have my contact information, which included businesses I've never visited and companies I've never heard of, such as Randall Supermarket and their parent company, Albertsons. Despite the trials, the company's stock was up 5% after the first day of questioning, according to the New York Times podcast, The Daily. And according to NPR, it is unclear at present what kinds of actions Congress will take following this trial.
Yeah, and we'll keep you updated on that story because that is a very important story, and it's a crazy. I mean, you know, it's really unbelievable. Facebook is kind of an uncontrollable beast, so we'll see how they're going to handle that whole situation.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Anyways, Paul Ryan's retiring. Emily, why don't you tell us about that?
All right. Republican Speaker of the House Paul Ryan announced he will retire in January, reports National Public Radio. Ryan's retirement ends his three-year stint as the Speaker of the House for 3 years and the effective leader of the Republican Party. Quote, "I'm leaving this majority in good hands with what I believe is a very bright future," unquote, Ryan said during an announcement on Wednesday. Ryan and other Republican leaders met with President Donald Trump at the White House Wednesday night. Trump tweeted a photo of the group, saying that discussions were continuing on how to make America great again. Some Republicans are concerned that Ryan's departure will affect their position as the majority as midterm elections happen this year, as well as concerns about that his fundraising power will be degraded by his resignation. Concerns have also been raised that with his resignation, more moderate and/or old-school GOP members will leave the legislature. Political analysts expect the next speaker to be more in line with the president's political agenda. Ryan is one of the 46 Republicans who will not be returning to Capitol Hill, according to NPR.
Thank you very much, Emily. We have a segment now by the School of Global Environmental Sustainability, as we do every Thursday. So I'm going to take you guys right into that. You're listening to the Rocky Mountain Review here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
Welcome to the Weekly Sustainable Digest, brought to you by the School of Global Environmental Sustainability.
I'm Tony Vorster, a PhD candidate and Sustainability Leadership Fellow at Colorado State University. This week on the Sustainable Digest, Congress thinks burning wood might be a solution to climate change, but is this really an answer? The spending bill passed last month requires several federal agencies to establish policies to, quote, reflect the carbon neutrality of forest bioenergy. The EPA has also recently signaled support for forest bioenergy. Calling forest bioenergy carbon neutral is misleading and often inaccurate. Let's first unpack some of this terminology. Forest bioenergy is the use of woody materials for energy production. These uses range from burning wood for heat and electricity generation to converting wood into liquid fuel. While this is a renewable energy resource, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is good for the environment. Carbon neutral energy sources have net zero emissions, with any emissions being offset by removal of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. The idea is that carbon released from burning wood is recovered from the atmosphere when the forest regrows. If truly carbon neutral, forest bioenergy would hold a clear advantage over fossil fuels for battling climate change. The reality is not that simple. Forest bioenergy often emits more carbon dioxide than fossil fuels. Congress's claim that forest bioenergy is carbon neutral ignores the continued forest growth and associated reductions in atmospheric carbon dioxide if the forest were not harvested. It also does not account for the fossil fuel emissions released during harvesting, transportation, and conversion of wood to energy. For example, large amounts of forest material from the southeast U.S. are converted to pellets and shipped across the Atlantic to the European Union, where forest bioenergy is considered carbon neutral. Lastly, burning wood for energy releases a pulse of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. In the time between this pulse of carbon dioxide and the much slower recapture of carbon dioxide with forest regrowth, that carbon dioxide is warming the planet. Forest bioenergy's carbon benefit, or lack of it, compared to fossil fuels depends on the particular forest of interest, as well as how we assess the carbon footprint. Is the forest being harvested solely for bioenergy, or are harvested byproducts being used? Is the wood from a plantation or a natural forest? What is the source of the energy displaced by bioenergy? Replacing dirtier energy sources like coal is more likely to be beneficial than replacing cleaner energy sources. How quickly will a particular forest recover? This is an increasingly difficult question to answer with climate change effects on forest regeneration and growth. Forest bioenergy influences climate in more ways than just changing atmospheric carbon dioxide levels. For example, harvesting wood can change the reflectivity of the Earth's surface, or albedo. These other impacts on climate must be considered when evaluating the merits of forest bioenergy. Forest bioenergy may be a sustainable alternative to fossil fuels in certain scenarios. For instance, piles of wood without economic value are burned in forestry operations. Forests are being thinned across the western U.S. to restore them to historical densities and reduce the risk of severe wildfire. Much of this material is piled and burned. If we are burning wood simply to dispose of it, why not use it for bioenergy instead? In the Pacific Northwest, progress is being made to convert the unused limbs and branches from logging operations to jet fuel. Alaska Airlines even flew across the country using jet fuel made from this leftover material. Another potential bioenergy source lies in the vast number of trees killed by bark beetles throughout the western U.S. The environmental sustainability of using this dead wood for energy is being researched at CSU, as well as the economic and social sustainability, important aspects of energy that can't be ignored. Is forest bioenergy climate friendly? It depends. This answer is dreaded by policymakers who want simple, one-size-fits-all claims like forest bioenergy is carbon neutral. However, the complexities of this issue must be considered if forest bioenergy is to actually contribute to the fight against climate change. Next Friday at the SOGIS Science Seminar Series, Pat Keyes will talk about linking hydrology and sustainability and how humans can better manage our water resources. The talk is from 1 to 2:30 in 108 Johnson Hall. For details on this and other events, visit sustainability.colostate.edu. Thanks for joining me, Tony Vorster, for the weekly Sustainable Digest from Colorado State University. For more information, you can find us on Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, or kcsufm.com.
And welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review. That was our weekly School of Global Environmental Sustainability segment.
Yeah, written and narrated by Tony Vorster. So,
yeah, shout out Tony. Good job.
Yeah, and that was all on the carbon neutral forest bioenergy. And yeah, that'll be going up on our website too. So if you want to check that out, make sure to look at kcsufm.com. Anyway, we're going to go on a quick break here, but we'll be returning with our Rocky Mountain music segment done by our own Cheyenne Duba and our lifestyle segment done by Lily...
DJ Lil Miss.
Yeah, that works too. Anyway, we'll be coming back here in just a second. Stay tuned. You are listening to the Rocky Mountain Review only here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. I'm Gabe Peterson, one of two hosts here at the show. Julie Battalise, my co-host. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Lily is in the studio, Lily Fordyce, DJ Little Miss, to
Hi.
Talk about our lifestyle segment. We also have Cheyenne Duba in here. How you doing, Cheyenne?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Good. Yeah. So she's going to do our music segment right after this little lifestyle segment. So Lily, on your show the other day, you were talking about the benefits of plants, I believe.
I was talking about the benefits of plants and just like having them around, especially in a workspace and a study space, as they can like help focus and, you know, purify air and kind of get the mind relaxed and ideas flowing. And so you're not, you know, just so stressed about like screens.
That's so crazy. I never would have. I don't know. I mean, like, I believe it, but it also like a little bit confuses me because I'm like, really, a plant's gonna help me now?
Well, yeah. I have a lot of friends who have like plants who have What plant do you have that you just found out you...
Have a African succulent. Tree succulent, yeah.
Okay, succulent. So it's kind of like the pressure of keeping something alive at the same time too, you know, and it's like that's my baby, you know. That's like what my friends will say, so I mean, I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, succulents are pretty easy to keep alive if you're like looking for a new starter plant. It's like the best. Succulents are cactuses because they're, you know, they only have to water them like once a week, if that. But they can just help you, you know work, and it kind of like pulls your focus away from something else and can, you know, just look over at a plant and see the green and connect with nature a little bit, and then pull your focus back in, kind of feel rejuvenated, and your mind's kind of more at ease and relaxed. It's the same effects as like walking in a park, you know, after a long day and just stepping out of your, I don't know, normal routine.
Hmm. I mean, I know this isn't the same thing. Fish and
you did just buy a new fish, though.
I bought a fish, though. I did.
Very excited about
it. If anything, it probably distracts me more because I'm like, look how pretty he is.
Can you tell the audience the name of your fish?
Antarctico.
Yep.
What is it?
Antarctico? Oh, like Antarctica, but with like an O? No, it's like G-O at the end. So it's Antarctico.
Oh, Antarctico.
Antarctico.
So like, go into Antarctica.
More like from the band Antarctico Vespucci.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. I just thought
he was beautiful, and I thought that worked with Antarctica. So.
Yeah. Was it like an impulse buy? Because I feel like that was an impulse buy.
100% of impulse buy, because I woke up in the morning and was like... That was $40.
What kind of fish?
Are you serious?
It was beta. It was a beta fish. The fish itself is $12, but like everything else that came with it started tacking on, and I was like, cool, now I'm paying $40 for a fish.
Well, did you get the whole aesthetics for his fishbowl? Like, you got the treasure chest.
He has a crusty crab that he can sleep in.
There we go.
I gave him some like shells or something that I just happen to have, and then he's got some pretty nice pebbles, if I do say so myself.
Nice. Anyways, back to plants, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, they can also help boost mood, which is really interesting. When I look at my plants, they make me happier. That's because I love plants.
Mm-hmm.
But and an article from Healthline.com states that flowers associated with positive energy and events can act as a mood enhancer. One study found that flowers have an immediate impact on happiness and improve memory, especially for an event. Participants of the study received flowers like roses, lilies, and daisies.
That's really cool.
I think it's like associating things with like positive events, like weddings.
Is it like, now I'm thinking, if you're studying for an exam, should you go buy yourself lilies?
I definitely would. I'd be like, good job, you. You're doing great.
Good job, you.
This will help me remember everything.
Just like put one in your back pocket as you go to take the exam.
So does anybody other than Lily have plants at their house? Cheyenne, Julia, do you have plants?
I don't.
I have a fish.
You have a fish too? Yeah.
My fish is 14 years old. I am not even joking.
What?
Yeah. And it's a goldfish. And it used to be red, but then the color faded from it. Now it's white, like somehow.
Wait, a goldfish is 14 years?
It is 14 years old.
Are you sure your parents didn't just sprinkle one in here and there?
No.
Just back on the Cheyenne. It's the same one.
Oh my gosh, maybe that's why it turned white. I'm just kidding. No, this fish is 14 years old. Like, fish can live, goldfish specifically, can live for a very, very, very long time. If they're kept well and if they have like a good tank.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they keep growing if their tank is big enough. So, yeah.
Well,
this one just outlived all my fish and it's super old now.
I know something that can relate to fish and plants.
Oh, give us the lowdown.
It's called aquaponics. And it's use of fish poop and their nutrients to help with plants. I don't know. You like cycle the water through like a plant thing.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, you know, fertilizer and
fresh water, and it just. If they work, they work together.
Maybe you guys should get some plants to, you know, complement the fish.
You can buy, like, tanks now that you can have, like, the plants on top, and it, like, cycles through, and so it's, like, a plant aerates the tank and makes it cleaner, but it also keeps the plant alive.
That's really cool. Yeah.
yeah,
fish. Yeah. Fish and plants, man.
Aquaponics.
cool. Anything else you wanted to share with us?
No, that was about it.
All right. Well, if you're studying for exams, apparently go get some succulents, go get a fish, and then you're good.
Buy some roses and some lilies if you're, I guess, studying for a test or stressed.
Or stressed, yeah.
Or sad.
Or, mm-hmm. If you're sad, go buy yourself a flower.
It's basically all people.
Cheer yourself up. You can cheer yourself up in little ways, you know?
Yeah.
I guess.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself.
Anyway, we're going to go over to Cheyenne now for the Rocky Mountain Music segment.
Okay, so today I am going to talk about Casbo's new album, which is actually his debut full-length album. It's called Places We Don't Know. And he's actually going to be at the Fox Theater tomorrow, so in Boulder. I'm super sad that I didn't get tickets. My co-host Daniel got tickets, so I might just have to, like, hardcore bribe him or just beat him up for them. But this album is described on Dancing Astronaut as, so this is what Casbo said about it. He says, conceptually, the album is about romanticizing a naive worldview. The ignorance is something to be cherished. There's something really beautiful about the perfect worldview you have as a kid, that the world is harmless, beautiful, and good. The more you learn and experience, though, the more you realize everything isn't perfect. So the less you know, the more beautiful it is. It's the things we haven't done, the places we don't know, which is the title of the album, that have this unquestionable beauty. It's this world I'm trying to mirror with my album, the one that stays in your imagination. And I'd say that's actually a really good description for the album, because when I listen to this album, like, I just feel like my brain is, like, being filled with sparkles, and, like, my brain is just like someone's cleaning it out with a toothbrush, which does not sound fun, but, like, it's just a really good experience to listen to this album all the way through.
Like, refreshing.
Very refreshing. That is what I was looking for, instead of cleaning your brain with a toothbrush.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. So I would say that my favorite songs off of the album are... So Your Tempo, I'd say that's one of the more popular ones. I actually listened through it fully for the first time today, because I just could not get past the first part, because when the girl starts singing at the beginning, she's just like, we can sing, and her voice is just, like, super strange. But once you listen past that, the rest of the song is just, like, very bopping, very, like, summer vibes feeling.
Yeah.
Another really good song off that album was Stay With Me. That was another good headbanger for the summer. And yeah, I guess another way that I describe this album is cry/dance, which is actually a playlist that Casbo created on Spotify, where he just, like, compiled a lot of songs that make you really feely, but they also make you want to dance.
I feel that, though. Yeah. That's, like, kind of my genre half the time. It's like, it needs to be, like, lyrically, I want to cry, but like, rhythm wise, I want to dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't decide.
Yeah. Can't hold me down.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, and I don't know about, like, the lyrics on this, if they really want to make me cry that much. I honestly didn't pay attention that much. It's just, like, more, it's a very, like, EDM sort of album, but it's not, like, a going hard EDM sort of album. It's a kind of laid back, but it still has, like, a really good beat to it most of the time, and very just crisp and clear. And yeah. And one more thing to say about Casbo. First time I discovered him was actually when he made a remix of Big G's The Little Things. So if you haven't heard that song yet, it's really, really cool. Like, it's completely different than the original, and it kind of just reflects his music style in a really, really good way. So,
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the music segment as well. We'll be coming back here after a really quick break. We'll be going into everyone's favorite segment that no one can check on their phone. Weather.
Weather.
So
So thank you, Cheyenne. Thank you, Lily.
No problem.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, so stay tuned. You're listening to the Rocky Mountain Review, only here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
And welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. Gabe Peterson, one of two hosts here on the show. So Julie Badalise, my host slash co-host.
Did you just say your name and not say I'm Gabe Peterson? Did you say Gabe Peterson?
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, Katie Otter's back on the mic.
Katie Otter.
And Emily Moshak.
Yes. Hi.
I was hoping you would also go Emily Moshak.
Emily Moshak.
That sounds cool.
Makes it sound important.
We've had a great show today. Thank you, Jennifer, for coming on. Thank you to all of our reporters. We'll get to that after, I suppose. The weather is
pressing and important, and people want to know.
It is. It's going to be a good weekend. I'm feeling a good weekend for everybody out there, so be prepared for the good weekend. Unfortunately, though, it's going to look like it's not going to start off too well, because today's almost over, so you should know the weather, even though it is going to be windy tonight. That's the one thing you should know. 20 mile an hour winds with a high of, it's looking like about 55 degrees. So it's kind of warm, but, you know, windy. So any parties happening out there, you know, it's going to be windy. And then moving on to Friday. Tomorrow is going to be kind of cold. It's going to be a high of 48. It's going to be cloudy all day. Wow.
Oh. That's lame.
What's the wind? What's the wind tomorrow? What are some guesses?
The
28.
No.
30.
Higher?
Higher.
35.
40.
Between those two.
37.
38 miles.
God,
that's.
Don't even attempt to put your hair down.
Sad. Wow. Okay.
I am also talking to you, Gabe.
yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. So, yeah, tomorrow's going to be a high of 48. Looks like it's going to be a low of 31. So, it's going to be chilly all day, sweater weather, but it's going to be windy. So, might have to wear the windbreaker.
My God.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Julia. You know it's always sweater weather. And then Saturday to kind of end your weekend, because Sunday is always the saddest day of the week because you got to go to school the next day or work. Even though it's a great day. But anyways, Saturday, 57 degrees, low of 33. So it's going to be, you know, kind of a chilly weekend, cloudy all weekend with 27 mile an hour winds on Saturday, too. So be prepared. Be prepared. You know, next week's looking good, but you can never really predict the weather more than a day. You know, it always fluctuates, especially here in Colorado.
He's like, even I cannot even predict the weather.
I can. I wish I could. Be my superpower of choice.
Oh my God. All right. Well, thank you again to Jennifer Barfield for coming on earlier to talk a little bit about, I know the word for it, but now in vitro fertilization. And then also having our reporters, Bjorn Larson, Katie Otter, Raven Culler,
JD Layton.
That one's
Bjorn,
also on there.
You already said Bjorn.
Yeah, I already said Emily Mashak. Yeah. School of Global Environmental Sustainability as normal. Thank you so much for helping us out. And then Cheyenne Duba and then Lily
Fordyce.
Okay, cool. I want to say Fordyce for some reason.
/ Fortnite.
And then, yeah, thank you both of you, Katie and Emily, for coming on. Thank you, Gabe Peterson.
And thank you, Julia.
Thanks. Thank you.
I'll thank you. Don't worry. You don't have to thank yourself.
All right. Anyway, stay tuned. We'll be coming back on a Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. If you want to come back for all the news, local, national, sports, music,
and
all
I would
of that.
Come back. It's
you
the
would.
Best news show around.
All right. Well, we got the Rocky Mountain Review next Tuesday and Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. Anyway, stay tuned. You are listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.